Major League Baseball, what is your deal? 100% doesn't mean 100%. Tell us when and where doesn't mean when and or where. That there isn't a deal right now. Yeah, the players are still not happy with the 60 games the league has in mind, reportedly countering with 70, and reportedly countering with a 50-50 split in new postseason TV revenues. All this according to Jeff Passan. Still no deal. Clinton, what do we have here?
We have an awful situation in which Major League Baseball players are being forced to present themselves as if they're being reasonable when the other side hasn't been reasonable as well. The reason why they're telling you when and where is because that should have been the deal from the jump. But the fact of the matter is that half of these guys probably aren't necessarily that interested in running out to risk their lives for something in which the money is jacked up anyway. So in terms of what they're presenting versus what actually is real, this is all messed up from the beginning. The bottom line is that Major League owners have been put in a position where it's obvious that they are not as concerned about anything other than making top dollar as they are as getting the players back onto the field, which is not necessarily safe and in their best interest. And if they're going to play, you might as well be playing more games so that the sanctity of the season is worth their time in terms of injury, interest, never mind their career choices. This is obvious to me, and this is just another reason why.
Bill Plaschke, I'll bring you in here. Clinton seems to think it's 100% owners, Clinton, at fault here. 100%, maybe not exactly that number, but Bill Plaschke, do you agree with that?
It was 100% owners until they said when and where, and owners told them when and where, and they said, no, not yet, not yet. No, the players now are equally as accountable in this situation. I'm wondering now, we know several owners don't want to play this season. I'm wondering how many players don't want to play this season. The players, it's laid out 60 games. It's not great. It's a big asterisk, but it's still a season. It can still start on. It can still start. They can still get their service time. They still get, you know, prorated pay. I don't know what the deal is. And so now they're saying they want 70 games. Let's just agree on 65 and get it going. You makes you wonder how many people involved here really want to play baseball, really like baseball as much as the fans who are desperate to see it are.
So that's all it takes for you. Cut it, split the difference. The great compromise.
65.
Plaschke, Henry Clay, 65. Sarah Spain, now we'll bring you in here. What's the deal with baseball?
Flames from the side of my head. Bill. We don't get to acknowledge that the owner's side is using debate in the public forum to get what they want and then argue that the players have to be entirely genuine in what they're saying. When they say when and where, they're saying it to call the bluff of the owners. Because if the owners have to right now say how many games they want to play, and that number is less than the amount of time that they have, then they can grieve against them for not following through with the March agreement to try to play as many games as possible. That's been the problem the whole time. The longer the owners drag their feet, the more likely they are to get what they want. The amount of money in the last proposal was the same as the amount of money in the one before it. So if you'd agreed with the players last time, you should agree with them this time. They want more games. They've always wanted more games. They want to play. The owners have decided we're drawing a line in the sand of how much money we are willing to make or lose, and we don't care what happens to our game outside of that. The players all along have said, in the end, we're going to play for like 37% of what we expected to get this year. We're losing a ton. You're losing a ton. Let's meet in the middle. And the owners have not met in the middle.
Sarah, explain that number once more, because you did it very succinctly when we sat down. You know, it's not prorated 100% of their salary. You say it's 37. Right. It's a 63% pay cut.
Right. It's the same as if you got furloughed from your job. Yeah, you don't have to work as much, but are you happy with getting 37% of what you thought you were making for this year? Because that's what's going to happen to baseball players. Yeah, they don't play as much, but they want to keep playing more. They've been asking for more all along. So you can't argue that they're greedy for wanting 100% of prorated for more games if you're also going to argue that they might not want to play.
All right, Plaschke.
In the end, everybody loses here.
You can get back.
The players aren't greedy. The players are not greedy. The players are greedy. The owners have been wrong in this from the start. But you don't say, tell us where and when, and then back off of that. You don't. They're putting that on
yes,
T-shirts.
Yes, you do.
They're putting on that on T-shirts.
Yes, they because said, you're calling their bluff.
And they said 60 games.
Tell us where and when.
The average fan would take 60 games. So you don't think at this point you don't think 60 games is enough?
Not if you ask the players, Bill. That's the whole point. I was talking to a big leaguer last week who said 30 to 40% of his friends in the bigs were indifferent about coming back.
That's what I'm saying. They don't want to come back
for
this.
That's because the situation at hand is that messed up. So you can't tell me that what the fans want in terms of 60 random games matters. You know what I'm saying?
Clinton
because
Yates has been hosting baseball tonight
there
right here.
It's a problem.
On ESPN, and he just flexed that baseball tonight information on you, Bill Plaschke. I talked to a player this week. Wow. All right. So it appears from just if we were to separate you guys, there is no agreement here, and there's no agreement in baseball right now. We're not going to get to the end of that right now. We'll move on. We've been horned. Another story of the day, and once again, it's Mike Gundy. Look at this. This is an article from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 1989. Buffs say Gundy made racial slurs. This was when Mike Gundy was Oklahoma State quarterback. The player quotes in it, quote, "I can't count the number of times he used the word, has no class, and I hope not very many people raise their children to be like him. He said things he had no business saying to anybody." That last quote is from Albert Williams after playing in the NFL. He's gone on to do radio in Colorado, was on air this week saying everything he said 31 years ago. Gundy denied in that article 31 years ago he said anything. Sarah Spain, Mike Gundy has had to make two public explanations this week already. Should Oklahoma State ask him to make a third?
Yeah, you have to address this. And I can already hear the people saying, oh, we're going to go back and relitigate. He said something years ago. Yeah, we are, because the end goal is not the means by which we discover that someone is not in a position to lead well. It's whether or not that position should, whether that person should be in that position. And I think there are a lot of questions about whether Mike Gundy can lead young men fairly. How does this affect his decision making among players? Does he truly think Black Lives Matter, or was that posturing for the camera after he got quote unquote caught? If I'm a parent and I'm sending my kids somewhere, and if I'm someone making millions of dollars choosing to work at an institution of higher learning where I'm working with young men, then am I someone who can properly send the right messages, develop a relationship with them, and be fair with all of them? Those are the questions that all need to be answered, not just I shouldn't have worn a T-shirt.
Bill Plaschke, should Oklahoma State ask Gundy for another explanation this week for something he said 31 years ago?
They should ask him for something else, and that's a resignation. All over this country, we're toppling racist-toned monuments. It's time to topple this one. This wasn't some charge that came out of the blue. This was a charge that was made in the newspaper 31 years ago on the record by Alfred Williams. He said it at the time. He's not just bringing it up now conveniently. He said it at the time. He said he's been saying it for 30 years. He's an established citizen, works in Denver, is repeating the charge. How could Mike Gundy continue to work? How could he continue to reach the, you know, his team? How can he continue to represent his school knowing this was his background, knowing this is where he came from, knowing
this is who
he is?
Is there any explanation he can give, if I can interrupt, sorry, Bill, any explanation you can give at all, Clinton Yates, for something he said 31 years ago that was documented in a newspaper?
Yeah, he can say, I'm sorry, but here's the deal. The Oklahoma State University football program is exactly emblematic of what institutional control is in this country. Stadium named after and a program largely funded by an old, super rich white guy who's no longer with us. A quarterback who played there when they were good, who's now the head coach, who's been in that situation forever. This guy, for my money, doesn't know right from wrong. And I'm willing to accept that from him if he's willing to indicate that to him. But think about why he's there. This is what Oklahoma State football is. Everybody knows who Mike Gundy is and has for years, and now he's the coach, and this is what it is. So I'm not even necessarily super angry at him for fumbling the bag when it came to explaining this. This is what a lot of people's position in life is, not necessarily him specifically, because that's how
well, it's time to change,
that's
then.
That's unfortunate.
Well, Clinton, it's time to change.
Yeah.
Stop making excuses. He's 50-plus years old.
Yeah.
Got to learn
by
now.
You can say it was documented in the newspaper 31 years ago, but none of us knew that going into this, and his players in his locker room surely didn't, so that's a conversation that absolutely needs to happen within the team. We've been horned. Sorry to cut you short here, guys. Take a break. Coming back in 2 minutes. Do the Panthers really put out a greatest of all time poll without Cam Newton on it?
Around the Horn is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of Happy Hour.
Oh, we love our new home. Neighborhood's great.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Nation.
This helmet be the NFL helmet this season? Love this look. I saw at stadium. You heard Fauci say the NFL will be in need of a bubble if they want to play this season. And the response from the NFL doctor, Alan Sills, that they'll proceed with increased protocol and safety measures and prepare to adjust to the virus if necessary. Bill Plaschke, what are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm selling all this. The NFL is not listening to Dr. Fauci. They're not listening to the NBA, who's doing just the opposite. They're just going to follow their own protocol, and that's dangerous. That's putting the players at risk. But they're just going to do it, and it's impossible for them to play football under the conditions like the NBA is using, and under a bubble. You saw John Harbaugh said it's impossible. Sean McVay said it couldn't be a huddle. The NFL is just going to roll the dice.
Yeah, Sean McVay said, how do you socially distance in a huddle? But the idea of a bubble and a campus, you think because of the sheer number of players on teams?
Yeah,
the sheer number
way.
Of teams, it's an impossibility. Sarah Spain, what are you taking away from the doctors here?
I'm buying that they're proceeding, that's for sure. But I would need to see a lot more to know for sure that they will pivot and have some sort of other plan if this doesn't work out. This feels to me like a microcosm for the larger issues where we've politicized wearing masks, where we've decided that Dr. Fauci is on one side or the other, instead of just giving us what he knows about something that we're all adjusting to and reacting to. And it feels like the NFL has been able to go far away because their sport was the, you know, furthest down the line. And eventually we're going to catch up and have to answer to it, too.
Clinton Yates, when you hear the NFL doctors say, all right, Fauci, I think we got this one under control, what do you think?
I sell everything about that. I don't even need to get into the points about what I think when NFL doctors say things. We've all seen their history on that matter. But the fact of the point is, Dr. Fauci is not the kid in the class telling everybody that they've got to turn in their homework because the teacher forgot. He's the superintendent of the schools when it comes to public health. He's worth listening to because our lives are at stake. So just be real about what you're putting to the side in order to go to recess here. It ain't matters about health. It matters about what you want to do and how you want to make money, which we're all willing to accept, obviously, from the interest in the league.
On all those pages of NBA guidelines, there were masks for players on the second bench, not on the first bench. Did you see that helmet that had its own mask built in? That looked pretty cool.
I dig it.
Just going from an optics level, right, to use your word. It just looked cool, but I don't know if it's going to be the one they're going to use. We'll move on. Buy or sell to the Carolina Panthers. What are you doing? You ratioed yourself. Their poll of the greatest player in franchise history did not include Cam Newton, Julius Peppers, Luke Kuechly, and Steve Smith. All great players, but no Cam Newton, Clinton Yates.
Unbelievable. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt on maybe they're only including players that aren't potentially active in the NFL. But up until recently, there were multiple statues for individuals outside of the Carolina Stadium. If you're a fan of the Panthers, you should be a fan of Cam Newton. We know that. You know that. Just admit it.
Benefit of the doubt? Benefit? Take a mute here. I'm not giving you the benefit of the doubt for that, Clinton Yates. Sarah Spain, how about you?
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, as someone who has put up many polls on Twitter, there's a little plus sign, and you can make it four options, which is what they should have done. Because if they thought just not including them would prevent them from having to have a conversation about the fact that they unceremoniously got rid of him, they were wrong. This just makes it even worse.
Bill Plaschke.
Are you kidding me? A reason a lot of fans have ever heard of the Panthers is Cam Newton. He's the only MVP they've had. He led them to a Super Bowl. This is so petty. They just don't want to have to say, we got rid of our GOAT. So they're not putting in the GOAT conversation. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Come on, Clinton. No benefit of the doubt, Clinton. Come on.
No benefit of the doubt. No.
I don't get the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I'm saying it. I'm a Cam fan. We know that.
Yeah. All right. The latest videos of him working out, doing those push-ups with one hand and one shoulder, the shoulder that had surgery on it. How is he not signed yet? Sarah Spain, you're remaining unsigned here for our showdown, but take a front row seat.
Woo-hoo!
And Clint Yates, we're going to talk about the crowd noise the EPL piped in yesterday in their debut.
Around the Horn is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Part of Happy Hour.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities.
and the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
EPL is back. Whoever said the ball needed to be socially distanced 6 feet past the line for it to be a goal in the Aston Villa game points to you. Tarped over seats, piped in crowd noise. Reviews of that were mixed. Cheerio or cheery no, Bill Plaschke?
Oh, cheerio. The crowd noise will work eventually. I play NBA 2K with my daughter, and I love the crowd noise. It gets me going. It keeps my players from running into the stands. It's tremendous. It works. It gets
you going. Steve Plaschke playing NBA 2K with his daughter should have been in the A block. But the bottom line is, this is just some guy's job. You can put this squarely in the barrel of laughs category to me. English people, calm down. Just because you invented the game doesn't mean that you can't do anything differently.
Oh, I know. There was a time where someone went down with an injury and the crowd noise wasn't really up with that. Plaschke's getting the point. We know what this is about. We'll move on. Showdown 2. Who looks better in their new Bucks uniform? Brady or Gronk? Clinton Yates, take a look. Give an answer.
This is definitely Tom Brady. I thought I was going to be a little bit weirded out by seeing these images. But when I saw Tom in the new clean white Bucks jobbies, I was like, oh, this ain't as bad as I think. I might like this. Brady Nation, how about it?
No, they're both weird. It's both looks like two guys on Halloween or something. I can't get used to it. And maybe I will eventually, but it looks like two guys trying to play pirates.
They're both incredibly fit and tanned, though. They look great. Gronk looks best rhythmic dancing. Point to somebody who always dresses up like a pirate for Halloween, Bill Plaschke.
Good news for NFL fans. HBO's Hard Knocks is going to include the Chargers and the Rams. Two teams for the price of one. It'll be tremendous to watch them fight for attention in L.A., fight for sweet space in the new stadium. But more importantly, it could also be the appearance of Colin Kaepernick, because one of those two teams could and should bring him into camp. The Rams have a backup quarterback. John Wolford's never thrown an NFL pass. The Chargers, Anthony Lynn, already said he would bring Kaepernick in for a workout if it worked out that way. I think this could be the Hard Knocks for the ages, Rams and Chargers, and Colin Kaepernick.
Wow, I wasn't looking forward to it or excited to Hard Knocks, but now maybe I'm almost excited.
I'd give the Chargers
that's it for us. 23-hour, 40-minute break. We'll see you tomorrow.